everybody, and welcome back to the I Don't Know Running podcast, where we share our experiences that make running fun and sometimes not so fun. I'm Lewis, and I'm a self-admitted lazy ultra runner.
And not good with a mic.
Apparently not.
That was good.
That just spun.
Equipment issues. And I'm Mitch, and man, that threw me way off. I'm sitting here drinking sparkling water that Lewis made. I feel a little bit more pampered. Like, you know, he can't make good coffee, but he can make good plain sparkling water.
Yeah, we are so excited in the household here. We went over to some friend's house, and they had a sparkling water machine sitting on the counter, and I went, hey, how do you like that? Blah blah blah. And I love bubbly LaCroix and all those, and they said, oh, we love it. And we kind of went back and forth, and they go, somehow it was, yeah, I've been watching them for a while, I just haven't pulled the trigger. And she goes, well, do you want one? And I went, huh? What are you talking about? And she goes, yeah. And she went into this whole story about how they were sent a different one for some reason, and whoever they bought it from said, just keep it, throw it away, do whatever. It worked fine. But for some reason, well, they got sent this upgraded one. Oh, I know what it was, but it doesn't matter. But anyway, boy, this thing is just spinny. Like today, this mic is so spinny.
Well, who's your equipment guy?
I'll have to send him an email.
Yeah.
But anyway, all that to say, we were given this SodaStream machine, and man, I have been in heaven the last like week with this thing. It's amazing.
But that's, you know, it's funny because that's mostly, especially since I was trying to lose weight this year, I've always drank sparkling water or whatever, something with bubbles in it. And I switch back because it's zero calories and zero additives. So it's not like, you know, it's like not switching to diet soda.
Right.
You know, and all that junk that you're drinking. So I was really trying to just drink water, and I wanted something with a little bit more. And I said something to my wife about wanting to get one. And it's like, wow, you know, I was looking at them, they're $100 or whatever. It's like, we can, I think, you know, a couple of weeks, I think it'd pay for itself as much as I drink of it.
Yeah, they say, well, I guess it depends. Your distance varies with those canisters. But yeah, definitely worth every penny, even with just the not having to take bottles or cans back, right. That kind of a thing.
Well, we were fighting about it, I think, before I left for my race. I said, because we got this big tub right outside the door in the garage.
Yeah.
And it was overflowing. There's a couple of bags. And I'm like, well, who's the lucky one that gets to take those back? I mean, we'd give them away if people would just make
less. I know. I love it when they do the neighborhood roundup of, hey, our kids collecting money for this. If you have any cans, you'll come and get them. Here you go.
Yep.
Here's two bags full.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. As soon as I went to, as soon as I hit record and we started recording, I thought, I think I do this every single time. I start to say, welcome back to the I Don't Know Running podcast. And I almost always adjust. And I wasn't even thinking. And it was, as soon as I adjusted the mic, it like spun. And it is so spinny. Everything is set back up from last week's little trip we made over to PT Sports Pro. And so even when I put this back on and put this all back, set this back up, I was like, I don't really like how this, I didn't like necessarily how it was. So, and in doing it, I went, wow, this is kind of spinny. So it bit me. Anyway, welcome back to the I Don't Know Running podcast, where we will talk about running at some point.
Yeah, but we go down a lot of rabbit holes first.
Yeah, that's okay. I think it's good to be, I don't know, it's real life.
Yeah.
It happens.
So with that, I ran this morning and I'm still cold. It rained the whole way.
Uh-huh.
And
I didn't have to run.
You ran yesterday, but you know, if you don't do the group run the day after, it doesn't count.
So, it counts.
Well, it doesn't count anyway because it was just a fake marathon. It was a marathon distance.
It is a marathon distance, and the only reason I ran it is because I can't join you next weekend. So bummed about that.
So here's weird. This is something weird. I sign up for another race next weekend.
Yeah.
And I thought I had Lewis on the hook.
I was there, man. I was going to go. I was all for it. I initially, when you sent it out, I'm like, yeah, that is kind of short. short notice, but I mean, we've talked.
Yeah.
I can certainly run a marathon. I'm not worried about the distance. And, I thought, you know what, why not? You know, the only thing is it would have made me miss a Sunday. And obviously I work in ministry, so Sundays are pretty important to be at work. And, I'm already taking a couple of Sundays off. And so I requested it. And after some discussion, it was like, well, really like to have you here. So I said, well, okay, I understand. And so I couldn't go. And so, yesterday the plan was
a 20 miler.
I want to get a minimum of 20. And when I laid out the course, cause I go into Strava and like lay out the course, I thought, you know what, I'm going to lay this out. I can do a 2-looper and it's actually like 21 something. And then I did the, another route. It was actually closer to like 22.5. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go with the 22.5. I know I can cut a mile here or there if I'm just feeling miserable at 16.
Or add on.
I was not thinking that. I don't think I ever go into a 20-mile training run thinking, I'm just going to add 6.2 miles. I've never done that. But yesterday, I was about mile somewhere between 12 and 16. And I started thinking, you know what? I don't get to go with Mitch next week. I'm feeling decent, you know, like everybody does at that stage until you hit mile 18. So
the trick is you got to put yourself in a position where you have no choice but to run that distance back.
Yeah. And you know, what's amazing is I didn't really do that. I could have easily. So I got to mile, 16, 17, 18. No, it had been closer to 18. And if I took a left, it's a 20 miler. If I take a right, I'm adding on some distance. And it wasn't clear yet where I like all the places I would have to go. But I did. I took a right. And I also did not take nutrition for 26. I took nutrition for about 18, thinking, the last 2 miles, whatever. And I did not take hydration necessarily for 26. I took that for roughly 18 to 20. And my salt caps or the sodium capsules, I didn't plan for 26. So at mile 16, when I started thinking that, I started rationing. Because I thought, you know what, if I want to do this.
Well, you could have been drinking from streams, you know, kill some rabbits along the way.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of rabbits out right now.
Yeah. But all that to say, I did get in a marathon yesterday, which was kind of fun to do. And I had set myself up decently pace-wise to
on
be able
Strava,
to do it.
I noticed it was 26.22 or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you have to run around the driveway or anything like that?
I had to run. Well, it's funny because I got back to my house and I knew I'd have to go past my house. Went past my house and turned around. And I turned around way too quick. I was like, I had to run past it again. How did I? But you don't do math well when you're that far into running.
Or anyway.
Yeah. That was my Salisbury steak marathon.
I knew I could get you to say Salisbury steak. Yeah. So I'm running the Salisbury Marathon in Maryland next week. So
yeah.
Another state. So I've been trying. I decided I wanted to get really aggressive about this year. If I got 10 states left,
are you getting 4 states in by Delaware?
Maryland.
No, Maryland, but then you're doing Delaware a few weeks
later.
New
Hampshire. New Hampshire is the week after.
Are you doing one in Delaware?
I did one in Delaware already.
Oh,
was a 50.
You did Delaware. Yeah.
That was Brian and I. We ran the
We
did a 50K in Delaware and a marathon in Pennsylvania the next day. That was last year.
So that was 2 more states there and you're getting 2 more coming up.
Yeah.
This year already.
Yeah. Well, I've got 2 new ones already this year.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And and I'm signed up for 3 more states. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I'm signed up for
Maryland,
New Hampshire, and Idaho. And I'm just trying to get the
what's Idaho?
I am going to do a race. It's in July. So I'm going to go. It's in Idaho Falls. So that's going to be our vacation race.
Yep. Yep.
Laura is running Tahoe 100.
Oh, yeah. Tahoe Rim.
The week before. So I've been trying to get this straight in my head. I've been working on this for like a couple of weeks. I keep looking at flights, looking at multi-segment flights, you know, round trips, all this different stuff to try to get the price down. But I'm going to fly into Reno one way. She's going to pick me up at the airport. We're going to stay at her daughter's. I'm going to crew her for that race. And it's July 20. The funny thing about that, I don't know if you've looked into that race, but to pace it, I have to do at least 30 miles. Or it's a 30-mile pace. Like, there's only a 30-mile segment. So it's like, you know, like a lot of pacing gigs, you can do a 5, a 15, or whatever. No, it's 30.
Wow.
So I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Well, yeah, that makes a difference.
So I know I can do that. Yeah. And then, so I was going to have Tammy go with me there. And she's like, I don't know if I can take that much time off. So I got a couple flights. So I got my flight out of Reno, and I'm going to stay in Tahoe until the 25th, and I'll work remotely a couple of days, and then I'm going to fly from Reno to Idaho Falls, and then Tammy, I'm going to have her meet me there. She's got to get her flight yet. We have a place there, and then we're going to go to the Grand Tetons, and I'm working. I got to figure out, there's nothing close to the Grand Tetons. No matter what, you're going to be an hour out. So trying to figure all that stuff out and not make it cost a fortune.
Yeah. So, cool.
So if you want to go do that one, that could be fun.
Yeah. Join you and Tammy on your anniversary vacation.
No, it's in July. It's not on our anniversary.
Technically not. Yeah, true.
It's fine.
And it's on the back end of the vacation. The marathon is.
We're going to, so that's why she's not coming out to the 25th. Cause she liked the idea of doing stuff after the race, which is more fun.
Oh, okay. So you will have a second half.
Yeah.
After.
We'll go the 25th, which is a Thursday. The race is on the 27th.
Yep.
We'll do the race and we'll on the 28th, we'll go over, do whatever. And then we'll fly home. I haven't figured that out yet. Maybe the 1st of August to the 3rd of August.
Gotcha. That's a nice vacation, though.
Yeah. And I bought a map for all the hiking and.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool. Well, yeah, that's exciting that you will. So then you'll be down to like 5 states left?
That would bring me down to 7.
Seven.
So if you got any ideas.
Oh, yeah. I guess that. Yeah.
So after July, we can start looking at Georgia or, you know.
I can't believe you don't have Georgia.
I know that one's, that should be easy.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. But yeah, this episode is actually going to be a race recap. We're going to recap the Baton Memorial Death March. The marathon you did.
It's been
3?
It's been 2 weeks. So
2 weeks.
Almost 2 weeks. So tomorrow, it was 2 weeks ago tomorrow. It was 2 weeks ago because it was a Saturday race.
Yeah, and I believe I had Russ and Dave on from Amway Riverbank Run that morning, and we were talking about it, and that was your 40th.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
Well, actually, 41st state, because D.C. isn't a state. It's a U.S. territory, really, technically. But D.C.
Gotcha.
So I have 40 plus D.C.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, we talked about that briefly because Russ, he remembered you had mentioned it would be your 40th state.
Yeah.
So, 2 weeks ago. And so, yeah, let's dive into the Baton Memorial Death March. So those that want to do that, we'll talk a little bit about that. But it essentially is a memorial to the Baton Death March from World War II.
Yeah, 1942.
Yeah.
In the Philippines. 75,000 U.S. and Filipino troops surrendered. I mean,
after a long battle. And,
and under-supported. And, I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
And they were pushed back,
and eventually had to surrender.
and they were marched up into the Bataan Peninsula, and it's hundreds of miles. So the Memorial Death March is just
a memorial to that.
A memorial to that. Yeah. So they're not doing the same thing that they did.
But right.
If they fell behind, they were shot. So there was a lot of people that died in that march.
Yeah, there were a lot of people that died in the march and in the prison and post even because of the conditions that they were kept in and things like that.
Right.
So.
Right. So there's a lot. So it's so cool. And I know, Lewis, you wanted to go in as well. It just didn't work out this year. And I'm like, I don't know when I'll be able to go. And I was on the fence. I'm like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it on my own. So I decided to do it. And then, I mean, I'll get into it more later.
I feel like we need to break this up into two segments, the race and the travel.
So, the travel.
So do we want to cover travel first?
I want to get into travel first, and I can just
get that out of the way.
Get that out of the way.
Not much fun you had.
I don't know.
Was the travel more fun than the race?
No. So getting there, and that's why I'm driving next weekend. I flew into El Paso, and I had to drive up to White Sands Missile Ranch.
Just be careful when you get to a gas station, you don't lose something. Like a piece of luggage or something.
Right. So because the flight was a little bit more expensive than what I wanted to spend, because somebody was trying to give me a hard time about being cheap or whatever, and which I am, but I do so many. I try to stay within a certain budget when I do in these races. So I was thinking, I'm going to car camp that whole weekend. So I'm going to just take my camping gear and I'm going to sleep in the car.
Which, that's cool. I think that's awesome.
So I packed, a a check bag with all my camping gear in it.
Yeah, and because of doing John Muir Trail, that camping setup, you have really nice camping gear.
Yeah.
Light, easy, small, compact. So you can easily pack that and take that with you on a flight.
So I'm like, I have all this stuff. I'll just take it, and that's what I'll do. So earlier in the week, so I spent more than I wanted to spend as it was. And then I get the email from American Airlines that says, hey, there's storms in Dallas where you're flying through. If you want to change it, it's not going to cost you to change your flight. You have to pay the difference. So I start checking on flights like, oh, crap. Like, and I look and I see the storm surge coming in. And it's like, oh, for another $400 or $600, I can change my flight. That makes it not worth it.
Yeah.
That really gets it outside.
So we're not
going
to charge you a fee to transfer the flight.
Right.
But it's an additional $400 to $600.
And there was nothing available. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to roll the dice. Right.
Yeah.
And then it did get delayed. And then the one out of Dallas got delayed. And then I didn't get into El Paso till like 1 a.m. I didn't think I was even going to be able to get a car. I'm like looking around. I'm like, well, if I get my bag, I'm just going to pull my pad out and I'm going to sleep on the ground in the airport, thinking to myself. I'm waiting for my bag. And I talked to a guy. And I'm like, I don't think I got a car. He's like, yeah. He's like, you know what? They're not at the kiosk. They're up by the vehicles. If you go up there, they're probably there.
Because you rent your vehicles in a way that you can pretty much just go.
Yeah.
Right?
So I always go through National and I got like whatever status.
Where you just walk. Yeah.
I just walk up and I grab a car.
Yeah. That's that makes it nice.
So I go up there and they were there. Luckily, three vehicles left, a small SUV or two trucks. And I'm like, how about one down there? You know, like the bigger cars. No, you can't grab them. I should have asked and said, I'll just pay the extra or whatever.
Yeah.
I should have done that.
$50 or whatever.
Yeah. If that was the case.
Wouldn't have been much.
But I didn't. I thought, well, I grabbed this SUV. Well, the third roll folded down, but the middle roll didn't. Anyway, I go and I park it outside there so they could go home. I go down and wait for my bag. And then they said, oh, it might have made it. My bag got on a different flight. It didn't make it on the original flight. So they got their bags. I'm waiting. My bag didn't show up.
Ugh.
So I go down there and I file a claim. I do all that stuff. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I guess I had my backpack.
Which had your running stuff?
I had some running stuff in there, not everything I wanted, but I had enough to run.
Okay.
And I had my shoes on that I had okay. running shoes on. Like I at least did that. Because
you
last,
could have made the race and done it.
Right. And last minute, you know, like I had none of my toiletries, I had, you know, or anything, you know, like I packed it all in the bag thinking, yeah. whatever. So I thought, all right, I'm just going to stay in El Paso. I park in this hotel parking lot. It's close to a road, louder than hell. And I try to lay down and sleep. And all I can hear is cars. I'm like, this sucks. Because I thought, well, if my bag comes in, I'll quick run back and right. get it. I couldn't sleep. Getting cold because I have nothing with me. And it's like, all right, I drive down the road. I'll just start towards the missile range. Find a rest area. I slept in the rest area. It's windy, too. Like, it's crazy windy. And that's all I hear. I'm trying to sleep. I'm freezing my butt off, like, because I have nothing with me. I found that I put an extra shirt in my backpack, and I put that on, and I'm in there. I'm like, this sucks. This is a bunch of crap. So I'm like, all right, I can't sleep. I just drove the rest of the way. There too early to get my packet,
which was like a
maybe hour 20, hour and a half.
Okay.
So I'm like walking around, you know, and it's like, all right, I don't know if I want to camp. Look at the app. I didn't get a call. Hey, my bag's in El Paso. Shoot back to El Paso. Get my bag. And then I'm like looking at for hotels. And the closest hotel to that race is 40 minutes away. No hotels.
Right?
Well, I guess I'm camping. So then I come in there and it's like I'm looking around and I talk to the guy. He's like, yeah, everybody camps back here. So they had a decent place. The thing was, though, I was tall, didn't fit in that car very well. I figured out how to kind of organize it in a way that I could sleep, and I did that. But I'm talking to this guy, and it's funny. He tells me, so you need a race in New Mexico, and he picked this one. Like, he made it sound like it was super hard.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what am I not reading? You look at the finish times and they're not fast because it's mostly a lot of military do it and they do it as a hike and
yep.
as that with uniforms or with camo boots and 35 yeah. pound packs. So not everybody runs it. So you see those times and it makes it look bad, but they're, you know, it, if you look at the elevation, it's at 4,000 feet and it goes up to about 5,500. So there is
a little bit of that factor.
There's gain and there yep. is elevation, stuff like that. So I'm like, I know it's not easy. Nothing is, but I've done hard stuff. So I'm like, what am I missing? You know, and thinking about that. And I'm like, okay. And then he tells me, like, yeah, at mile 8, it just goes straight up. I'm like, uh-oh. That's not good. I guess I can walk that. I got time. Yeah, like yeah. there's a big, you know, and then, so anyway, I go and I camp. I have all my stuff. I was comfortable. It was a little cramped, more than I wanted it to be. But I mean, I would do that again and I would camp. I would bring a tent or I would do something like that and I would actually camp. The only thing about that though is there's prickers all over the place.
Oh.
That actually embed in your shoes. So you have to bring a tarp if you camp too. To get the prickers not to get into your stuff because yeah. they would actually embed in my shoes as I was walking around. It was crazy. But they had Port-a-Johns out there.
Oh, nice.
Tons of people camping all the way down. A lot of people in RVs. So it was good. It actually was probably the best way to do that race.
And that was all free.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
camp there.
So
nice.
That, yeah. And it's on a military base, which
is weird.
What
I was going to say. So is that inside yeah. the base, at basically near like the race start.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So it's on the White Sands military base. It's an army base. So it felt weird. I'm walking around. I feel like a criminal. It's like, I'm not really supposed to be here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
military police all over the place.
Yeah. Cause you had to go through the gate and get mm-hmm. sign in essentially.
Yeah. Like you have to have like a pass
yep.
with your license plate and your name and all that stuff. Yep. And they check you at the gate. But border security, they had state cops. They had, I mean, it was just unbelievable amount yeah. of police support.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and I'm kind of walking around. I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be walking here, But really, it wasn't a big deal. I find the back corner and everybody's back there. So
they had a area that you could be. You couldn't just wander or drive around wherever, though.
Kind of you could. It really wasn't a big deal. They had enough people there. If you did something that you weren't supposed to, it wasn't going to be good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. And then they have, I mean, like the bowling alley, you could get food. I mean, they have everything that you need.
Okay. So you were close to one of their, I don't even remember.
It's like a little town.
Yeah.
So they have everything that they need for all their military. Yeah. There's even housing where, if you're in the in the service or enlisted, they have housing for all of them. And it's just, it's like a regular town.
Yep.
So, I mean, you grew up with that.
Well, I was in the Marine Corps. Yeah. So I remember those times. Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't. So it was just interesting to me. And I thought it'd be more locked down. It's like not as locked down as you think.
I think it depends on the security status of the United States or, the level that we're at. I know, when I was in, there was a time when I was in, and obviously every base would be different. So when I was in Japan, I actually was security forces for that base. And so there was a period of about six months when I was there where every single vehicle coming on the base, it did not matter what sticker you had on your car. It did not matter. Nothing. Your ID was getting checked. Mm. And then it was because we would close the gates. You would have to drive through the gate and then we'd raise the gate and let somebody through. And obviously in the morning, this is way going down a rabbit hole, but anyway, it was a higher level of security. And then 6 months after I was there, it relaxed and it was more of okay, they have the proper sticker on their car identifying them. We would just let them through. So it obviously, and we had similar, when I was in Camp Pendleton, it was the same way. I don't remember, for some reason, I do remember, it's funny. I do remember Gunny, that he was ticked because he was supposed to be with his platoon and he was running a little bit behind and he had driven a vehicle. It wasn't his normal vehicle. So it did not have the proper sticker on the license or on the windshield. And we're like, sorry, Gunny, all respect, but you do not have proper identification. And then I think he forgot his ID or something even. And he's like, call your superior, blah, blah, blah. I know who he is. And so we did the whole rigmarole and he was ticked. And here, you're just I was a corporal and it's such a dynamic in the military.
I can see that. That's what I was worried about is I didn't want to just go where you're not supposed to. I don't want to cause any friction as far as that goes, but it turned out to be pretty laid back as far as
that's
goes.
Cool.
So
that's cool.
So I got a spot with a bunch of people and I was tired because I didn't sleep the night before and I went to bed pretty early.
So you got there, the race was on Saturday. You got there on Friday.
Basically got there Thursday night. That was the original plan.
Yep.
But I was there Friday. So
Friday is when you actually arrived after doing the whole rigmarole.
And I didn't get back after going and getting my bag and trying to run around town and get a hotel room. It was probably 5 or 6 o'clock by the time I rolled back in there. So it was just...
I gotcha.
And I was tired. So I knocked out. I slept good. I just was a little cramped in there and got up the next morning and...
Race morning.
And I dressed to run. So I was wearing, and it's in the desert, but it gets cold at night. And I was comfortable. My sleeping bag does really good. And so I'm just wearing shorts and a sleeveless shirt and arm warmers. And I decided to wear a hydration pack to carry stuff and food and all that stuff. And I was thought, well, I'm reading, my pet peeve about websites, right? And I sent you something even earlier this week again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to me, again, I don't, it needs to be clear. It says be in line. And I couldn't find it on the website. I had to go to the Facebook page to get information.
The actual race start or information for the start?
What time to be there and all this other stuff. So okay. I had to, my updates had to be on Facebook. Again, if you're doing a race, I mean, it should all be there on the main page.
Yeah, it's funny. I looked up because I wanted to follow. I wanted to check out what you were doing and all of that. And I looked it up and you ran on the...
I did the...
March... What date? What was the date? It was March 16th was the race.
Yeah.
And so I pulled up the website and I'm like, I pull it up and I'm looking to find it. And I hadn't looked it up and they're like, yeah, register no later than March 23rd for the race.
Yeah. And that's from and last year.
No, it was this year's, but it was just wrong. It was just because it was, everything was correct. Or maybe they didn't update it from the year prior. I don't know, but I was thinking, I'm sitting here going, wait, is this the right one? Is this the right race?
But that's the stuff I send you. I'm like, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me. So I had to get to the Facebook page to see it, but it said be in line, ready to go by 6. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, so that's when the opening ceremonies are or whatever. And, I dress to run, I walk out there and I'm like thinking, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take me. 20 minutes before I walk over there, which I could have pushed it. I had more time. And I get in there and it's 6,000 runners or marchers,
hikers. Yeah. And because the race, for those that don't know, they have the military light, military, is it called heavy?
Heavy.
Civilian light, civilian heavy.
Yeah.
Obviously, light is runners. They're not carrying a pack or anything like that. Heavy is carrying a pack or dressed 35-pound pack.
Yeah. And camos and boots.
And there are a lot of military.
Yeah. It's heavy, a lot of military. It's really cool, actually. And I get in there and I'm like, I don't know where I'm supposed to be too.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't want to be disrespectful. At the same time, I'm thinking these are people in the military. Yeah. I don't want to be that jerk, you know? And I'm trying to line up where I'm supposed to. And I finally figure that out.
So would you say that that's a little, they could probably do a little bit better in the corrals?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I read, I'm freezing. I'm freezing my butt off. I'm shivering because I am dressed to run.
Yeah.
And I'm like, gets past 6. I'm like, what the heck? You know, like
nothing started yet.
So I pull my phone out and I had to go to the Facebook page. Oh, opening ceremony started at 6:30.
Oh,
I could have pushed it until like 6:15 and walked in there and stayed
you're right there.
Yeah. But I didn't. But who knows how disrespectful that would be either if I'm trying to pound through as everybody's already lined up. But
it seems like they would have a little better organization of like, all right, all your heavies, your civilian and military, here back. Because you're not going to be in the front.
But they were.
I wonder why.
But it was so cool. They did the opening ceremonies, but they put out a flag that's on a big boom. And to me, you know, and then they did colors, you know, like they walked out with a color guard.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah, so I was in the color guard.
Yeah, so if
you're military,
if you're patriotic at all, to watch that, and then the guy, the announcer, he had that voice.
Oh,
it was just kind of funny and kind of cool at the same time, you know. And they went through all that, and they honored the people that have fallen because obviously at this point, if this happened in 1942, there's nobody, there's no survivors left anymore.
Yeah.
So. It was kind of cool, and they go through that whole thing, but then they start it in stages, and I'm trying to figure out when I can run because I'm freezing my butt off. And finally, you know, they call it, and I go.
At 6:30? No.
It was like 6:45, so I've been standing there for probably an hour just freezing. And that's on me. I need to be able to run instructions better, you know, read the instructions better, but they need to be more prevalent.
Yeah, it needs to be out there. Shouldn't have to hunt and search to find stuff. Some of the simple stuff.
If I would have been smart, I would have brought a throwaway and I would have been sat there and I would have, but I didn't. I didn't have any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I know better, but I didn't. So I take off and I'm kind of walking and it's just, everybody's just walking, marching. And then I even get out past where the start line is and nobody's running. I'm like, am I the only asshole that's running? Like, and then there's part of me that's, I'm going to win this thing.
Nobody's running this year.
Like, this is awesome. But I'm weaving in and out and I'm like, I am a jerk. Like, I am like, am I not respecting what's going on enough? Am I not, you know?
And
as we kind of come around, you kind of go around, you know, the base and you kind of start heading out and basically into the desert, into the, you know, out the missile range, I find more people that are running. So it's like, okay, this is okay.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, I don't have as much energy, and I didn't put it together about the elevation. 4,000 feet is not bad. It's not, but when you do run, it is a little noticeable for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I was running slower and I wasn't trying to push it, and I'm running with other people. And the amazing thing is I've got people in military heavy that are running next to me.
Like, crazy.
With heavy packs and boots, and they're running and they're doing it. And I'm like, okay, so I'm running, and at about mile 7, it starts to go up, right? And I'm thinking, it's runnable. And then I'm running up, and then I get to mile 8 where he says it goes straight up, and I'm like, not going straight up. It's still runnable. Like, maybe he was just wrong, and I'm going to run as long as it's runnable, and that's relative, right? Because I'm not going fast at that point, but I'm just trying to keep it moving, because I'm trying to finish the race, and I'm trying to, and I'm running up, and I'm like, all this is runnable. And then I'm still going up, and it goes up pretty even all the way up until about 13 miles. There's a couple spots I walked, and, you know, as far as through aid stations and stuff like that, but like, it was runnable. Like, it wasn't the hardest race I've ever done. It wasn't easy.
And was it an out and... No, you said it's not an out and back, but there is a...
There is a section where you come back on it again.
Yeah.
But I'm running, and then it's a combination of road and trail and two track and stuff like that. But I'm kind of running. I'm doing that. And the aid station, I noticed too, mostly like bananas, not goose and stuff like that.
Oh, so that's right.
If you run it, and you like goose and that stuff, you have to carry it yourself.
Yep.
But there was one aid station as I'm kind of coming down and coming back through that had cookies. So I had cookies. I really like sweets. And I was like, oh, that's fantastic. And like a banana bread or something. I'm like,
yeah,
two-fisting it. Like, oh, I'll have that. And coming down, even there were some spots that were harder down. So kind of hard on your body at that point, you know, like those, and it's on the dirt. So you got those divots and stuff like that, that you have to kind of pay attention to. I know you can bounce through that stuff.
Yeah.
Me, I'm a heavy runner.
Yeah.
I have to be more careful through that stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah. And just started coming down, like after mile 13, 14, start coming down. And then we wing out, and I'm about mile 18. We come out on that road that we went up for so long.
Okay. Yeah.
I kind of come out to run down that road. Oh my gosh, the view at that point and this line of people in full military
ruck
with packs, with 35-pound packs marching up that road was so cool to see. And I didn't pull my phone out and take a picture. I think I took 2 pictures that whole trip. So I'm like, running down and I'm just looking at all these people coming up that hill, and I'm just marching up the hill. And there's a lot of civilians that are on there that, and you see that at races, people that will walk a whole marathon.
So yeah.
If you are one that walks a marathon, it's the perfect race because you have a good time limit.
Oh yeah.
You can take as long as you want.
And a huge community doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're right in the middle of the pack, but it was probably a mile of people.
Wow.
Coming up that hill. But it was funny. I forgot about that story too, as I'm running up, and I'm running next to this guy, civilian, shorts, and he's carrying like a backpack with 35 pounds. And he's talking to another guy, and he's talking about all the things that he's done. And we've all been around that guy. That guy is annoying as hell. And he's talking about the first time he's done Cocodino. He's done Cocodino twice, and if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but
Cocodona.
It's a 250-mile race.
Yeah.
And talking about that, and the first year, I went pretty conservative. And that was, you know, and he's talking to this guy and he's talking about, I'm not doing it this year because I'm doing this 50 mile. I'm like, oh, I am not running next to this guy. This guy is annoying me. So I get ahead of him. You know, it's like, I find somebody that does that every race. It seems like somebody that annoys me and I just got to stay ahead of him. So I'm like, I am going to beat him up this hill. He's carrying a backpack. There's no way. So I ran up the hill. I stayed ahead of him and it was miles, you know, like up that hill. And he's talking. And then at one point, you know, he's making that noise. Like, oh my gosh, you're annoying. And then as I'm coming down, I'm running down the hill. That jackass passed me. Like, I guess you are. You're tough. Okay, yeah. You got me.
Yeah.
But he passed me. He went whipping by.
Did he end up beating you?
Yes.
I
never saw him again. So my motivation up, at least I kept going, but he still beat me on the way down.
Yeah. There's two ways to get away from those people. Speed up or slow down.
Yeah. I didn't slow down. He got me.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, so he wasn't lying when he, you know, he was tough.
But, yeah.
But
so it was
just funny.
It was pretty, it was a nice race, pretty uneventful from there to the finish, pretty normal. You did have this section of sand.
Yeah. So, and that's what, when you read the website,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, I didn't expect all that sand.
Yeah.
So at about mile 20, you get in there and you get into the sand pit.
Which terrible this time to hit it.
That's the only problem with it though.
Yeah.
Is because I hit that and I'm like, this is still runnable. My legs hurt. And I'm thinking to myself, like, oh my gosh, this is at 20 miles. Is this what the rest of the race looks like? Do I have to go through sand?
How loose was it?
It wasn't. I've run in worse because I ran, like, I've run on the beach before, and that's hard.
Yeah. Which is a loose, heavy sand to run in.
Mm-hmm.
And some beaches, like Daytona, it's like running on concrete almost.
Kind of in between there. So it was loose.
Yep.
But I'm watching these guys and, you know, in camo and boots, running through it with packs. I'm like, I am such a sissy. They're way younger than me, though.
Yeah.
And that's what they do.
Safe to say a lot of those guys are in tip-top shape at the tip-top time of their life.
Right.
Young 20s even.
So I walked through some of it and ran through some of it. And then all of a sudden, like 2 miles in, mile and a half in, sand pit's done.
Done.
So I could still run, and then I had to run in, and it was fairly flat the rest of the way.
Yeah, if you read the website, the way I read it, I expected to get a potential phone call from you that it sucks so bad, and you just wanted some motivation. Like, that's the way the website reads.
So I'm running. It's like, okay, I can run this. And, when you get tired in the end of a race, if you've done this, the walk-run thing, and I'm running, and then I'm, like, looking at my watch, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to run this in. I look at my watch. I'm like, oh, my gosh, am I going slow? I'm running, like, 12-minute miles.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm putting in a lot of effort.
Oh,
I think it was that elevation and just being tired at the end of it. And no sleep for a couple of days, basically.
Yeah.
So I'm just, like, holding on and just – and then we came up on – they call it the honorary march, and they don't have a half. They have a 14.2-miler. It's amazing how many people do that. Like, you see older people that can hardly walk doing it.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. If you want to see a vast, just
demographic of different people.
Yeah. But they take up the whole trail.
Oh.
So all I'm doing is, like, I'm going back and forth. And then the same thing, it made me think about Arizona. You don't want to go off the trail. Same thing here. There's prickers on the side. So I'm trying to pass people and there's spiky things pointing out at me. So I was like, don't get too close to that. You're going to get stabbed. And then, but I had to do that the rest of the way. It's just it kind of merges. So I'm just like going in and out of people.
So how was the finish?
The finish was good. They had food trucks. And I thought, I read something, again, misinformation on the website about having a food ticket. I'm like, I don't have a food ticket in my bag. I thought I was going to get free food. I had to buy my food at the finish line. After paying $175 for a race, I thought I'd get some kind
burger.
Of a burger or something. But no, I had to, I didn't see any free food. It's fine. They had really good food at the finish line. They had so much. Like, You could get a burger, you could get tacos. I mean, they had like 5 or 6 food trucks there. So it was well supported that way. It's just, you were going to buy it.
Yeah.
Which, whatever. I mean, that's not a big deal.
Yeah. But I wonder, I didn't look that close at the race website. I wonder, does it, do they support something? Does this money go to something? Who's it even owned by? Like,
I don't know.
Because I'm thinking, okay, it's a good, well, number one, it's the only way you can get on and do that much of the base and run like that if you're a civilian. So it's a great opportunity to, and to help, you know, just be involved with something that honors something from the past. But I wonder, because I'm thinking $175, that's pretty steep.
It is.
That's pretty expensive for a marathon.
Yeah, I mean, they have gone up the last few years. I've never seen one this much, unless it's like a rock and roll.
Some of them can be expensive.
Yeah, or these the Revel series, I think those seem to be a little expensive. Okay. But.
Yeah, that's why I'm just thinking like, okay, well, maybe they're supporting some good cause, and so that makes sense, but it's on a military base, so I'm trying to think like, who would even own it to do that? But anyway. So cool. Good finish. Good atmosphere at the finish. I would imagine.
Yeah.
With all the people finishing.
Tons of people. I mean, you think about it, 6,000 people in that race between the two.
Yeah.
The honorary march and the marathon.
That's a lot. Yeah. I wonder if military get a different rate
if they're doing it,
in ruck and all of that. So
I think if you're an active service member, I think that you get a discount.
Pretty significant discount, I would think. Yeah. And I would wager that they may do it as part of their, you know, fitness program or something, because like, I remember again, when I was in Japan or that security forces, assignment, we did a 5K, a base there was a 5K on the base. And I remember we did it like, the first mile I had to run with the platoon because that was part of what we were doing that day. And we didn't have to pay. Like how did that work? I must have, because I took off. Remember Sergeant Ward told me I had to run with our platoon for the first mile or something like that. And then I could take off and I got a finish like a normal, like my finish. So anyway, all that, I would imagine that maybe it's something to do with like.
It was interesting because you could do teams too. So military teams, so they'd have 4 or 5 guys running together and sticking. And I think there was rules around that they had to stick together.
Yeah. So, that's pretty neat. I think it's a good opportunity for those that want to get a little bit of a taste of something like that, where you get to go on base, you get to, you know, be in an environment with a lot of military people that are honoring something from our past. And I would recommend head to Wikipedia, check out the Bataan Death March information there, or go to the website. They have a lot of information there as well. I think that's where I initially read about it, looking up the race. And so race wise, you'd say,
yeah, I would do it again. If you decided to do it, I think I would do it. I would camp there. And I would make sure that we had a bigger vehicle. Like get something like a big SUV that we could both.
But you would camp there.
I would absolutely camp there because the closest hotel is 40 minutes away.
They didn't have, I don't know anything about the base there. Some of those you can rent on base.
I think that I signed up like last day you could sign up. So I think that was all gone if they had it.
Like I know a lot of bases have a small number of, I don't know if it's really a hotel, but it depends on the base. I know that, but like, they're very affordable, especially for like veterans or active military. You can get some pretty good discounts and stay. I would look into that because there's a chance you could stay pretty close right on base, which would be pretty cool too. Mm-hmm. But anyway, maybe not. They might not have anything like that there, but you'd go back and do it again and recommend it.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if I get, you know, through my 50 states and then pick out ones that I just really want to do just because they're fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I would do it again.
Yeah. You don't have anything near that area anymore.
Yeah. The only thing I have out west now, I mean, Alaska, Hawaii, and South Dakota, and I've got Idaho planned.
Okay. Yeah. So that's it. All the rest are east.
Yeah. Everything else is east.
Which isn't a ton.
No.
Take those out.
Those are all really close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them I can drive to. I mean, within reason.
Yeah.
But.
Well, that's cool. Yeah.
But my travel will.
I was going to say, that's the race.
And then
we get back into travel.
Coming home. I decided to get a hotel that last night because I really wanted a shower. If I could have found a shower on the base, I would have done that.
So where did you have to go? Where did you drive to?
I drove to El Paso. So I stayed right by the airport. And then I hung out for a little bit. Guys next to me that were camping next to me, I got a free beer from them. That was, thanks for that. So we talked about running and stuff like that. And then I took off in the afternoon and then just drove back to El Paso. And I tried to get the cheapest hotel I could get. And I think they were having all kinds of travel problems again. So I couldn't get a cheap hotel, relatively decent priced, but I was trying to get something for under $100 because I'm cheap. But I had to leave. I had to be at the airport at like 5 a.m. I think my flight left at 6. And as I'm taking off, my flight out of Dallas got delayed from 11 o'clock to like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then it got delayed again until 6. So I was supposed to be home by 2 o'clock and I didn't get home until like after 11, but I sat in that Dallas airport all day long and they gave me a $12 voucher for a meal, which was fantastic. Which
covered a French fry.
Yeah. I got one French fry, but I just ate junk all day.
Yeah.
So I was like, what am I going to do all day? Like, what do you do?
That is no fun. You said El Paso. I didn't realize that's where you flew into.
Yeah.
Man, that is such a bummer. Nicole has a brother that lives in El Paso. So I would have been fun to go with you. We could have actually stayed with him most likely.
Oh, that would have been nice.
Yeah. Both ways.
Yeah. Come in, stay there.
Yeah. Drive up.
Because I think the only way to do that race is to camp, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah.
And they had tons of space.
Oh, for camping there.
And porta-johns out there. So it's not like you were going to, it was kind of cool.
Yeah. That's neat. I think that's even when you were gone, I'd mentioned like, man, I really wanted to do that race because we had talked about it before, so like a few times. And then there's that other one. I do want to find that other one. I think it's worth doing. I'll have to dig it up because it's not the White Sands one. This is on an Indian reservation.
That one's I think that's in Arizona, though.
I think it is.
Yeah. And I'm interested in that one as well.
That one, the only way you can get on that Indian reservation is through that race. Mm-hmm. Similar to this, but like you can get on, you could go to White Sands if you had a reason to be there and like you had military member or like you knew somebody and you were going to visit and all that kind of a thing. But this one is the only way you can get on this Indian reservation is through this race. And from what I've read on the website, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Some of the most beautiful areas of Arizona. Arizona has a ton of very beautiful areas, let's face it. This is another one of those. So that one would be a fun one to do. Maybe that's one where you go. Yeah, that's a trip.
Because I've done Utah twice because we went back and I ran in Moab. I did the Dead Horse Ultra. And then we went back because Bryce Canyon, we ran basically not in the park itself, but right by the park in Bryce Canyon.
Yeah, and that Bryce Canyon one was amazing as well.
It was beautiful.
I missed that one, but man, the pictures, you guys, didn't Jason do that or something
like
that?
He was signed up, and then because of COVID and stuff, we decided to go. He decided not to.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, that one was amazing too. I wish I could have made because it looked amazing. There's a few out there like that. Man, out west, just you go out west, there are views on views on views out there.
Well,
all over in all kinds of states.
When we're pacing Glass City, we got friends that are going out and running Big Sur, and that's like a top 10.
Have you done that one?
No.
Which one did you do?
I did Surf City.
Surf City. That's got the giant surfboard
medal, yeah, right? I got a surfboard medal for that one. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah.
I like bling. And then it just gets hidden on the wall behind everything else.
Yeah. But it's not just a round medal.
Right.
Yeah, it stands out a little bit. Cool. Well, that is Bataan Memorial Death March Marathon. And I guess it's not a half. It's
an honorary march.
Honorary march. So if you are interested, that one is March 16th-ish, 23rd-ish in that neighborhood.
Yeah, between the second and third week. Watch the website, but don't trust it.
yeah, because you might
just like any other race website, in my opinion.
Yeah, you might have to do some homework. But what we've mentioned, as we've mentioned in the past on the podcast, is sometimes you got to do a little digging to find out what day it's on, the time of the day, or the time of the day that it starts, things like that. Right. We do need to find out Glass City start.
Yeah, we were. That's what I texted you this week. Yeah. I'm like, what time's this race start? Try to find it on the website.
Yeah. Yeah, I just laughed. I didn't even have to look. I just went, oh, so it's not on there. Okay, good to know.
I mean, we've done it a million times. We've found it before.
Yeah, I don't think it's, we'll get it, I'm sure. But anyway, yeah, any final comments on Bataan Death March or?
No, not really. I did have a really good, really good hamburger in El Paso too.
Oh, nice.
Because I always like to eat.
Yeah, eating is nice.
That was it.
Cool. Well, go check us out on Facebook. Go check us out on YouTube. We have a lot up there now. We're adding more. Matter of fact, we have the PT Sports Pro section on there now where they're talking with knowledge about what we like to talk about a lot of times. And check us out on Patreon. Go join the team there for free. Or if you want to support the show, that's an opportunity a way to do that. And thank you, Chris. And I don't think Eric.
I don't know.
Eric. Chris.
Yeah. And, you know, like I want to roll right into still looking for free race entries.
Yeah. Looking for free race entries.
That's the cheap part. The travel, you know, like
Chris and Carrie. That's why. Carrie, for supporting the show and free race entries by anybody that wants to send them in.
Yeah.
Or just shoot us an email and say, hey, yeah, you can run our race. Especially if they're in Alaska, Hawaii. Idaho's, or I guess you already signed up.
I signed up for Idaho.
Yeah. Georgia.
Georgia, you know, Maine? South Dakota.
You done Maine?
I've done Maine. I need New Jersey. Vermont. Vermont would be a good one.
Yeah, so send those in, and we'll discuss those races as well.
Yeah.
But with that, that is going to wrap up this week's episode of the I Don't Know Running Podcast. Be sure to tune in next time as we share more about what we just don't know.
Until then. Happy running.